listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Here I am, in the place where I come to let go. Miami, the base in the sunset glow. Everybody like a Mardi Gras. Every party all day, no work, all play. Okay, so we sip a little something, lay the rest to the spill. Me and Charlie at the bar running up a high bill. Nothing less than ill when we dress to kill. Every time the ladies pass, they be like, "Hi, Will." Can y'all feel all ages and races? Real sweet faces. Every different nation. Spanish, Haitian, Indian, Jamaican. Black, white, Cuban, and Asian. I only come for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This is the type of town I could spend a few days in. Miami, the city where the roof's blazing. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
That's right. We are in the house on a Saturday. A very special Saturday.
Yes.
You know, look, I gotta tell you guys, yesterday we were I got up to do some work in this room and our trusty brand new computer
that we just bought old.
just barely old
because of the donations and the premium people. Thank you.
Right, we had bought a new computer because our old one was crapping up and messing up the sound. So we hit so you know how you get to your computer and it's like, hey, you want to do an update? I said, yeah, I want to do my update. You know, I'll keep my computer, you know, much as we pay for that computer, we got to keep it fresh.
Yeah, you gonna have all the current software, dog.
So you know how when you do an update it says don't unplug this, don't pull the power cord from it? Well, who would do that? I wouldn't do that. Only an idiot would do that.
Right.
Of course I didn't do that. I hit the update. I closed all my apps. I got up to pick something up from the other side of the room. And the power in our apartment went off for about 1 second, maybe two. And then it came back on. And when it came back on, our computer was a brick. It is a brick now. I spent an hour on the... phone with Dell help desk doing every single type of solution, unplugging shit, plugging shit in, replugging like, shit, using different cords to like, plug shit.
Bitch, I told you not to turn me off.
I looked on the internet for every solution. I held down the button for 30 seconds and unplugged it.
You thought I was lying.
Everything. And nah, I don't know what it was updating at the time, but that computer dead, y'all. And lucky for us, we have all our shit saved on our website. We have a lot of our shit saved in backups and stuff. But some of the stuff we don't have saved. So because through the move and stuff and throwing stuff away, so like I don't know where my fucking intros to I don't know where my intros to like full movie reviews and shit is. Like I was
balls deep bullshit. Y'all might premium people, y'all might have a new intro, because if we right. can't find it, fuck it, we'll make some new ones.
Yeah, I don't even know what the intro to this podcast is. That Ride of Karen the Hot, I gotta go find that shit. Like
I don't know either.
Jesus Christ, man.
Everything might be new after a while, y'all.
Oh my God. Like just lost everything, man. And I think it's I think I had it backed up, but I may have accidentally deleted that drive or thrown that drive away because it was acting weird or something. I don't know. I got to check my Dropbox. The point being, I wanted to announce what we were about to announce yesterday.
Yes.
But honestly, man, my day just wasn't going that hot, man. You know, I had a fan of the show that wrote in about our, what I thought was a hilarious segment about the ridiculousness of a person that would smear peanut butter all over the playgrounds in Canada.
Yes.
We were definitely not on his side. I don't know if the jokes,
missed their target.
Yeah, but you know, I thought we kind of got it across pretty well that we were not okay with that, but
yeah.
This person seemed to think
anti-hurting the children with their allergy issues.
Right. This person seemed to think we were belittling the seriousness of allergy issues on our comedy podcast. You know, and that was kind of her gripe in a nutshell. And I just was like, no, I would never do that, you know. Like I understand how serious it is out there.
For people with allergies.
Yeah, exactly. Karen had allergies to shellfish for a while. We don't know if it's the iodine in it. It went away eventually, but you know, that can be very serious, guys.
Yeah, it can.
Now, how she made it through all the jokes about the murders and killings
and the rapes
And yeah, I don't know how she made it through those segments, but look, peanut allergies are very serious, guys, and they're no laughing matter.
No laughing matter at all. Okay,
a lot of kids get bullied with food allergies and stuff. Here's a PSA, guys.
You wouldn't think the cafeteria would be a scary place. But last year, someone wiped peanut butter on me.
It happened to me on the school bus. So I decided to walk for a while. It makes me not want to go to school sometimes.
There are 5.9 million kids in the U.S. living with food allergies. And nearly 40% have suffered a severe or life-threatening reaction because of them.
School's supposed to feel safe, but sometimes I don't feel that way.
Would you believe that 1/3 of all kids with food allergies are bullied because of them?
I told them to stop. I don't understand. They just want to hurt me.
Right now, we're working on a cure for food allergies.
They tried to make me eat it, but it's like they don't get it.
Until then, there is a cure for food allergy bullying. You. Go to foodallergy.org to teach your kid about the seriousness of food allergies. You could help save a life. Or help someone have a better one.
If I'm not at school, I can't get bullied.
Food allergy bullying. It's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
It's not a joke, guys. And, you know, shame on us, man. I wasn't trying to make her the peanut. I wasn't trying to make her the peanut butter of our jokes.
Yes, and now we weren't trying to make this a peanut gallery.
Right. I know people don't want to, you know, hear that stuff. You know, we thought it would go over smooth, but it was kind of crunchy.
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to make you feel like you're nuts, okay? Mm-hmm. You're not.
Mm-mm. I'm sorry, you know, it didn't whip up just right.
Right, yeah, you know, the way I see it is, maybe we need to have like our own special division of the police that looks into these crimes. You know,
peanut butter investigation group.
Yeah, this woman told me she almost died from peanut butter allergies. So, you know, this terrorist that we were talking about, we said he was a terrorist. We were the ones who used terrorism. We were the ones who treated it seriously. Now, this article, they had a laugh about it. We were saying, look, this is an extremely serious issue, and we shouldn't just be letting it go. We need to crack this case like a nut, you know, pardon my French, but we need to get into it.
Yeah, the people investigating need to go and crunch all the facts.
Exactly. You need to get on this, you know. I mean, Canada is a shell of itself now. Okay, and I know what y'all are thinking. Y'all like, oh, Rod, you think everything's funny, you know, and I know how I am. I'm always like, I'm kidding, but I'm gonna be serious right now and tell you guys that. Kashu, any thoughts of us making jokes about that anymore, okay? You guys can just let that go. Forget all about it, okay? All right, so now that you guys have been warned, let's get into some good news.
Yes.
Because, like that was, like I said, it just kind of bummed me out because I had so much shit going on yesterday. It's just like, man, I don't know what to say, like, we make jokes about everything. People pick and choose their thing that they don't want us to joke about, but it's right. Like, I'm not gonna stop doing a comedy show because of your one thing, you know what I mean? Like, you have to understand that this is jokes. My other show's nothing's wrong, it's funny, and if you don't think it's funny, then I understand if you don't want to listen or whatever, but nobody's saying it's okay to bully you because of your allergies. I don't think anybody should be messing with you or putting shit on the, I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's like racism. We laugh at racism here. Racism is taking the lives of so many people, so many black people.
Come on, dog.
We laugh at that shit here because we're like, it's gallows humor. It's like, it's so ridiculous. So yes, if we talk about peanut allergies, we're probably gonna laugh at the ridiculousness of a dude using the butter knife of terrorism to spread it all around Canada. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Actually, I'm not sorry. I can. Mm-mm, yeah, I don't want to even lie to you. I'm not sorry.
Nah, we're not sorry about the jokes, but
yeah, it's just jokes.
You know, we hate that he took a slice out of the peanut butter.
See, Karen, you just go too far. You don't know which side your bread is peanut buttered on. Okay. Now it looks like we got ourselves in quite a jam, ironically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this next announcement, I hope other podcasters don't get jelly.
I know it's so.
Because we going to Miami.
Yes, we going to, we got the Miami theme songs.
We going to Miami. I'm so excited to be like,
we going to Miami.
Yay! In my age status. Old school.
They should never gave this us niggas music.
Okay, what's up? Shut up. Okay, what's up? Shut up. Okay, what's up? Shut up. Okay, what's up? Shut up.
Out of my brand new 99 photo. I got a pocket full of beef. Don't know what we ain't got no plan to go.
But for real, we going to Miami, y'all.
Yes, we are.
We are going to Miami. Why y'all going to Miami? We going to Miami. I'm glad you asked. Voices in my head. We are going to Miami because we're going to be panelists at the Revolt.tv conference that they do every year. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly who the other panelists are. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet.
I don't think it has.
Okay. I know we are for sure.
Right. And, you know, I think we know who it is, but that's
right. I don't want to say nothing. Right. Yeah. And then that shit don't work out. But I know our ass is going to be there, man.
Ain't that the truth?
I can't wait, man. I think it's October 13th through the 16th.
Yes, sir.
October 13th through the 16th. Come on out.
I'm going to put a link in the chat.
You know, check us out. We're going to be talking about, all kinds of interesting stuff about the, podcasting game, man, with some other podcasters there that you guys will more than likely know. Yeah, if you're in Miami area, come through. I know there's like tickets and stuff you can get.
Mm-hmm.
There's a code for a discount. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and look it up while we're talking. I believe it's RMC16. Mm-hmm. So it's all one word, no spaces. RMC16. I'll put it in the chat, but I'll also put it in the show notes. So you guys can come through, man, because
okay, so you gonna put it in there with the link.
I just put it in the show notes. I'll put the link in there too, Karen. That's a great idea. Give me 1 second to click on it. But yeah, if you use that discount, you can get some like a percentage off of your tickets and shit, and come see us.
Yeah, hopefully we can get something together and possibly, don't know yet, do some form of a meet and greet. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know Miami's area. I don't know
we might have to get up with somebody in that area.
I understand they rich down there, so I don't we might supposed to be staying in the room. I don't know the rules.
Not me either.
I know Akinelli couldn't get his club. They didn't want his club down there.
So that's kind of up in the air. If that gets confirmed, we'll let you know, because we don't know jack shit by Miami.
Yeah, so we can't wait to go down there, man, and hopefully we get to meet some people down there and, you know, do maybe a meetup or something. I know Bo's down there. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get to see Bo. You know, I'm excited, man. So we'll see how it works out, man, but you know, couldn't be more excited and ready to get down there and hobnob with the big dogs, I guess. Rub little elbows, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They got some big names down there, you know what I'm saying? So I can't wait to get down there and see, it's gonna be pretty dope, man.
It's gonna be fun. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm a little, I think October 13th and 16th, so I don't know which day we'll be on yet. As things get closer and our travel arrangements and stuff get figured out, we'll let you guys know. Mm-hmm. So just in case you're down there, but yeah, man, I'm geeked up, man.
Yeah, hope to see y'all. Hope to see some of y'all there.
Mm-hmm. All right. let's get into the feedback. Okay, of course, this is the Blackout Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic Radio. Just search the Blackout Who Tips. Will come up. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 612 that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up in jail. Free Bobby. So hopefully we can get him out. All right. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll meet somebody there. Maybe I'll meet people there. I'll be like, come on, man, please. L.A. Reid, get that boy some money.
Ah, free Bobby.
It's $2 million bail. He only need $200K to get out. That's like three shows, you know? Everybody, ain't nobody forgot about hot niggas yet. Mm-mm. And of course, you can also leave feedback at theblackouttips.com. You can vote in the polls there. You can do all kinds of awesome stuff like become a premium listener at theblackouttips.com/premium. Don't forget, if you ever have any issues and stuff, I can't stress this enough. You can always email me, theblackouttips@gmail.com. I'll walk you through whatever you guys need. You know, people have questions sometimes.
Yeah, you're paying for the service, people.
Yeah, sometimes people feel like embarrassed to ask, like, mm-hmm. Oh, how do I get this on my RSS feed? How do I get this on my whatever? So, we just hit me up and, I'll walk you through it. I took some pictures, some screen caps on my phone. So I'm going to try to like put a tutorial on the site as well. Mm-hmm. So you guys, you know, won't have to keep asking if you're having issues. We would love for you guys to, you know, listen to that stuff. And especially if you're paying for it, man, take a gander. You never know what you'll find. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. I think that's it. Let's get into these 5-star reviews. We read the 5-star reviews on iTunes. And the only rule is that they have to be 5 stars and they have to be nice. Okay. We don't read mean ones.
Nope.
We're not masochists. Okay. And now that, you know, I don't want to brag, but, now that I'm verified on Twitter, I mean,
that's why you do got a blue check mark. I'm half verified.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, far be it from me. I mean, you guys have been so kind, so kind. you unverified people. Now that I'm verified, you know, it's a little more hectic, you know, it's a little more responsibility. You know, the way that I handle the trolls, you know, I have to be careful with them now because I'm speaking on behalf of all the, well, we call you guys unverified. So I have to, you know, it's like y'all are like the unsullied. You know,
oh,
kind of like that, but yeah, the verified, you know, we have our own little tab on Twitter. You guys wouldn't know because you're not in the, I don't even know how much I've said too much. Let me just go into
they might have to shoot you. Don't be telling all the secrets.
Yeah. I don't know that you guys even supposed to know this. So Let me just go on into the 5-star reviews and stuff. And maybe one day y'all will get a check mark if y'all just keep hoping and praying and wishing. Okay. Maybe y'all will be important as me one day. Okay. Do you want a funk 5 stars by Faloose_Brown? Just leaving a 5-star treat because a member has been slipping a 5-star staple in the podcast streets. Also, wait, we didn't do the donations. Hold up. We can't do. I'm all out of order, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm just so, you know, when you're verified, so much of this stuff.
You do what
just,
you want. You make your own schedule up, apparently.
So much of this stuff just, has a way of getting in on you, you know, when you just verify like me. So I apologize for that. That's my fault, guys. Let me go ahead and,
talk to about the most important people that have, given money to the church. We'd like to thank every single one of you. We gonna give you a shout out. That's how we finally got them donuts. We got the church painted. We still working on the pews. I know we've been raising money on the pews about 5 years now, but we still got the pews. We'll eventually get the stained glass windows. That's the next fundraiser. And after service today, the usher board is having a 6-year anniversary. So we want y'all to holler at Miss Smart, you know, because she's over the usher board. I think that's all the announcements for right now. Okay, you go ahead on.
All right. Let's play a selection from the choir.
recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
Shout out to Film Press Comics, five star review. By giving us their money.
Okay.
By giving us their money.
Yes.
That's the kind of five star review I can get behind.
That's true.
Shout out to my man David from Brooklyn, recurring donator.
Hey, sweetie.
Ricky A, recurring donator. Pretty Ricky, what they call him.
Hey, Ricky.
We got a message on this one. This is from John H, who says, "Hey, Rod and Karen, I left a five-star review for you on iTunes, and then Karen mentioned that those Canadian reviews can't get over the wall. So here I am giving you money. I'm a white woman in British Columbia, and my area is so white, the polar bears have to wear sunglasses to protect themselves from the glare. So back when Beyonce dropped Lemonade, I really felt like I needed some black voices in my world and came upon your podcast, haven't left since, and I don't feel like a complete ignoramus anymore. Karen's laugh and her diatribes are worth the listen alone, but Rod's comic timing is stellar. I love when you, well, you know, it's really because of the I'm verified now, that's what it is.
It's cool. Official.
I love when he gets on a roll because my stomach usually hurts from laughing by the time he finishes. Best of all is your chemistry together. It's great to hear a couple that occasionally disagrees but is still respectful and loving to each other. Hey man, all I do is correct Karen as far as some people concerned.
That's
so.
All you do, dog.
That is not correct, Karen. I don't always do that. Now you know.
Are you sure?
Whatever you said is wrong is what I know. I also love the way you champion the underdogs in life, and I'm a huge fan. I tell all my friends about you, by the way. This past year has been a really tough one in my family, and you two have literally given me joy and laughter. What a gift. Thank you so much, and keep it up, Paula in BC.
Thank you, sweetie. Once you get done with this, we need to go check Canada and China.
It was China?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I wrote down Japan. Damn, I'm racist.
It might be
Japan. Yeah, I don't remember which one.
But I think you said China. I'm sorry. Okay. We're going to check both, we just to be sure.
That's so racist.
Y'all all in the same area of the world.
It's not the same.
No, it's not the same, but you in the same area.
Stephanie W., recurring donator. I was saying, for the record, because I know people think I always correct you, okay? I wasn't correcting you on that. I was saying it's all the same as in my racism was saying it was all the same. Ha ha! It is in the same area of the world.
In the same hemisphere.
You are correct, Karen. See that? She's correct. Mm-hmm. Now go tell your wife that, okay?
Are you sure? You know, me and my woman brain and all.
No, you correct. I want some credit when I be co-signing. Where's that credit at? I don't see that on my Twitter.
Nope, you ain't never gonna get credit for that, the man.
Mm-hmm. Lucky I'm verified. I feel like when people get saved and they be...
I'm a new creature. I have been born again. All y'all unsullied sinners out there, unverified, don't nobody know, can't nobody recognize you. Mm-hmm. You talk to me once you have changed your life.
He verified me, and that is the only reason I ain't going off on people.
Right. I am a new creature. You better be glad that my heart has changed. And I ain't what I used to be.
When I was unverified, I would have hit you with that, oh, you sweet soul, but I didn't, because by he I mean Twitter has verified me.
My life will never be the same.
Brina H, recurring donator. Chris from Hawaii, recurring donator.
Thank you, baby.
Lawrence A, that's gotta be new. Yep, brand new. Go to the new members class. Tabitha M, recurring donator. Conrad, official first time donator of the show.
Mm-hmm. New members director.
The Tickler, recurring donator. Alexis, recurring donator. Thank you, Alexis.
Hey, YouTube.
We got a one-time donation that says, from Kathleen, who says, "Hi, Rod and Karen. I wish this could be a bigger donation from your friend and now donor in Western Mass. Love you guys. Hey.
Hey, baby. Every dollar counts.
Every single penny. Look.
Look.
I got to ship this motherfucking computer back.
Oh, shit.
We appreciate you, right, is what I'm saying.
Right. If everybody that listened to this show gave 50 cents, we could do something.
Right. If you just put something on it, put it's fine with me.
We'll take the jingles and the folds. We don't care.
Mm-hmm. Ah, we done talked through this whole song. I'm going to have to find another song. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a visiting choir now?
Let me see. All right. So, Rosalie V, recurring donator. Thank you, Rosalie. Wonga, Recurring donator. Thanks, Wanga.
Hey, Wanga. And
good day, mate.
Yeah, good day, mate. You be safe out there, sweetie.
Mm-hmm. Adam S., recurring donator. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate you. Dana W., recurring donator. Tanya S., recurring donator. Yes. Kelly C., recurring donator. Thank you, Kelly. Jane M., recurring donator. Shirley Wong, Esquire. Please say the Esquire.
Official lawyer.
And that's it, guys. We are, that's everybody.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the new the visiting choir for that bass. Mr. Playing the bass, you did a very good job, sir. Thank you.
All right. Let's get into these 5-star reviews. Back to Falouse Brown. Just leaving a 5-star review because a member, as a member, I've been slipping. I think that's what that says. A 5-star staple in these podcast streets. Also, can we touch on how Auntie Karen was getting down for gay news on episode 1260? Yes.
I love that song.
That's why it's the perfect song before the sadness.
You better dance for you cry.
Love y'all. 5 stars by JMD000. I learned of this podcast on Twitter and through Twitter. There is never a dull moment, even when discussing serious issues. The theme songs for each segment are great. I sometimes find myself humming them when facing a situation that could be in one of those segments. Karen's laugh and enthusiasm are inspiring. Rod's puns are the best. The others have guests from other podcasts. They often have guests from other podcasts, which has helped expand my podcast subscriptions so much that I barely listen to the radio. So glad I went premium so that I can listen to Ryan and Karen all week. Thanks for all that you do and keep up the excellent work. Thank you. Yeah, I actually have a spoiled movie review with JL Covan for War Dogs. I saw that. And then today, if everything goes right, we're taking my niece to see that. Was it Cuba and the broke and the Two Strings?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. I probably think that.
I hope so. But we're gonna the one with the dude with the paper.
At any rate, we're taking her, so we should get us a kids' spoiled movie review with our expert. Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good and clean. You can play it for your kids' parents.
Yeah, Layla will be here. The Blackout Tips for Children. 2 episodes. WAW96 says that did it. 5 stars. Clinton has to wait until everybody gets a plate. Been meaning to leave a review for a couple of weeks, but after that, I had to be immediate. There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think Karen said that, right? Probably. It wasn't me. I didn't say that.
If you didn't say that, I probably did.
It was either that or Amber or something, but hey, look. We take 5-star reviews, what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Love this podcast. Ophi30 says, this is one of the best podcasts in the world. You hear that? In the world, Craig. Do yourself a favor and change your life with this awesome podcast, 5 stars by TV Movie Mistress. I just absolutely love listening to Ryan and Karen. The work and the love they put into the show every week is just astounding, with a great mix of politics, funny, heart, and ratchet. The Blackout Tips is everything I didn't know I wanted in a podcast, but yet, here it is. Mm-hmm. Here it is. And lastly, love, love, love your podcast, 5 stars by Ellie Bryce, I think, maybe. My sister recommended your podcast and I'm hooked. Shout out to your sister then.
Shout out to sis.
You are my best friends in my head. It's so refreshing to hear forward thinking black people who support women and LGBTQ issues. Wait, did I say that right? LGBT, same thing. I got them in there is what I'm saying. With sharp, insightful, thoughtful, and humorous commentary. Keep doing great work. You gained another huge fan. Oh, that's dope. Thank you. And now to check, where was I checking? Canada. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, while I check Canada.
Yeah, we'll check over the wall, music, sweetie.
Here's some music while I check Canada. Okay, guys. Y'all jammed to this. Hey. Hey.
No, that shit just happened. But by her reaction, you would think I've been the man. You make it look easy. Even though it's cliche, I saw you on your Instagram. I think you're cute. Oh yes, I do. I think you're cute.
All right, I checked Canada, and the last one I see is July 23rd, and I think we may have read this one already. If not, I'll read it again. I'm a 48-year-old white woman from British Columbia. My area is so white the polar bears have to wear sunglasses to protect themselves from the glare. Back when Beyonce dropped Lemonade, I realized, oh wait, yeah, I think so she left one in the U.S. too.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, she left this on her donation. That's where I'm getting this from. All right. Back when Beyonce dropped Lemonade, I realized that I needed to hear what the black community was saying and that the exciting cultural renaissance that was happening. I found the TVGWT and I was hooked. Between Karen's laughs and her relentless sense of humor and Rod's killer delivery and timing, I have had a ton of fun while listening more than I ever knew I never knew. I love the magic and easy rapport that you two have with each other. I would love to hear the story of how you met. At any rate, LOL, this past year has been a really tough one for my family, but your smart and thoughtful podcast makes me laugh out loud, and I can't tell you what that has done for my spirit. I especially love the crazy depths to which your gallows humor descends. You have my mad respect. I can't wait till my kid is old enough to listen with me. In the meantime, someone told me the other day, I was like, yeah, I was listening with my son, and I was like, your son right there on the page? You look kind of young. I tell all my friends and family about this comic gem I've discovered. Thanks for everything, Rod and Karen. Love and blessings from Paula and BC.
Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, how we met. Well, we went to school together. For
elementary school.
Yeah, ever since elementary school, even.
Right.
And I sat next to Karen on the bus, you know, sometimes. And we would just talk, and we,
you know, about absolute positivity, nothing, just talk.
Yeah, I got them digits, you know how it is. And I would call her in the summer, and sometimes we'd talk about Tom and Jerry or whatever was on TV.
Hours on end.
Yeah,
until your mama and my mom be like, y'all niggas get off the goddamn phone.
Right. So we would do that, and then one day I was playing basketball, and Karen asked me out to go to see Beauty Shop 2.
Yeah, and it was hilarious.
Which is a play.
Yeah, it was a play. He told me no, and me and my mom wrote home. I was like, oh, I guess he don't like me then.
Yeah, and then lucky for me, the dudes at the court was like, hey, stupid. She probably going, that's a date. And I was like, what?
All right. Be like, a girl asks you out and you want to hang out with us with the niggas? Beat it. Like, they told you to beat it.
Yeah, I've always said, and I maintain, I don't know when anybody likes me anyway. So,
you know, he missed that red flag.
Yeah, like I like, people think I'm joking, but you probably have to like put a titty in my mouth for me to be like, oh, you are flirting, you know. But yeah, so we went out that night. I think her mom drove us, and we saw the play. And
I had a good time at that play.
Yeah, it was fun, and that was that was our first date. Mm-hmm. You know, that was pretty much that was it since then. So that's how we met. You know, Karen was just saving the seat for me, and Jerry Carroll juice is just dripping everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I was the aggressor in this relationship.
Yeah, that, you know, that
I knew what I wanted.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, you know. So yeah, that's how we met, and yeah, we've been together ever since. So hopefully that answers your question. I'm looking through. China didn't have a review for us. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. I mean, I don't know if it'd be in English.
Oh, they might block
you
them.
Even. Yeah,
I'm about to say, you look on it. It might not, it, because some places we go right a review. It ain't even up there.
Japan did have one for us though.
Okay.
It's from I love this podcast by a Texan in Tokyo. This is easily my top podcast. I love how informative and insightful it is. I feel all sorts of emotions listening. All the mostly terrible but not always news on my daily commute, from outrage one minute to bursting into laughter the next. I'm sure I look odd on the other train passengers to the other train passengers when I start rolling my eyes at some of the messed up things that people say or do back home in the U.S. I also love these two hosts and all their guests too. Rod and Karen have a love and respect for each other that is evident in the way they talk and listen to each other. I love it. The different news segments and games are introduced with great songs and cheerful jingles that go against most of the content, but it's just
we trying to tell you we trying to cover shit with sugar,
right? But it just reminds us how absurd everything can be sometimes. Did I mention I love this podcast? I really learned a lot and become much more aware, and I still have so much more to go, of course, since discovering the Blackout Tips. I also can't watch really gruesome TV shows, so I'm also a big fan of the Walking Dead recaps. So to Rod and Karen, keep doing what you're doing. You're both awesome. And to everyone else, listen to this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. There's another one from April.
Oh, well, I know.
I don't know if we read this.
Nope. Guaranteed that's the first time looking in there.
Yeah. Have we ever read?
Nope.
Japan?
No, sir.
Okay, well, there's two more.
Go ahead and read them.
All right, well, this one's from April of this year. Started from the bottom, says, like a family, 5 stars. For several years, I used podcasts merely for education and news like TED and CNN, thinking that was the only thing out there. Living here in Tokyo, that's my only connection to the culture. But then Beyonce dropped Formation, and then the Super Bowl happened, and no one was talking about it. And I was like, what the actual heck? So I searched Black Podcasts. You guys came up. I saw... Beyonce Formation got us fans. That's crazy. She did everything. She did so much for black people everywhere.
Right. It was like, get in Formation, find you somebody black, talk about this, because if you're not, you're going to go crazy.
Drinketh of my cup. I saw the picture and I was like, let me give these guys a listen, not knowing that from that point on I would be listening to you guys every single day. It's like my cultural connection. You guys talk about what I care about and I love it. Keep doing what you're doing. Makes me want to invite you guys for a barbecue. I know it'll be fun. Anyways, when you come to Tokyo, I'll make sure to show you around. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
Hey, look, man, you barbecue some eel, I'm there. Okay. Yeah, let me know. Mm-hmm.
We can go do some folks since I know what it is now.
That is wrong country. I gotta correct you on this, Karen. It's the wrong country.
You gotta correct me.
You know I always do. I'm addicted. 5 stars by Yoko Sukaboy. You guys are the best. The puns, the wit, inflammatory remarks make my day. Karen, yo, to everything is the best. LOL. Keep up the good work, and I'll be joining the premium soon. All the best. Rhyme in Japan. And that's from December 5th, 2013.
Oh, well, baby, we finally got to it. We ain't know. Y'all ain't tell us. So, in case you left a review in other parts of the world,
right,
let us know, because iTunes is like, you can't cross the border, jump the bridge, fly over on the plane. We blocking all the borders to the United States of America. Mm-hmm. This includes Canada and or Mexico. So let us know if you left us, even if it's one in the past and we have not read it yet, let us know and we will go read them, because we want to read you guys 5-star reviews as long as we like them. Thank you.
All right. Let's get into some other things here, guys.
So we didn't have any on Stitcher?
Oh, yeah. We had one on Stitcher. Damn. We had a lot of reviews.
Thank you, guys.
Procrastinating No More by Stephen Conrad, 5 stars. I have been meaning to write a review for months now, but my procrastination, my perfectionism, and my wanting to say so many good things kept me in delay mode. So here it is, unfiltered. I love this show. Sometimes these two podcasts are the only two woke people I will encounter throughout the day. They will take what seems to be ordinary news story, point out the problematic things, and will have me nodding my head saying, yeah, I never thought about it like that. They also will have me truly laughing out loud at the gym, or giving a Karen like, ha ha, as I'm riding my bike through New York. People must think I'm crazy. These two podcasts have become friends in my head. I've been a long time listener of TWIB, and I would hear Rod call in all the time with think, who is this guy? But didn't check out the Blackout Tips until I heard Nick Jew do her remix of the Guess the Race theme song on What's the Tea. And now I'm hooked. In the podcast world, I have many side pieces, but this show is my steady. Are you cheating on us? What?
I don't mind, baby.
Who these other bitches in your podcast app? I want to see it.
Baby, I don't care.
I want to see your Facebook password.
Everybody else too.
I saw you liked What's the Tea on Facebook.
I know, right?
You joined the Sterling Facebook group.
You over there with gaming and then some.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then some of what? You gonna catch then some HIV and bring it on back to us?
Some podcast AIDS.
I don't think so. You won't be sliding up in these podcast guts anytime soon. Steven, if that's even your real name, you must think I was born yesterday. Side note, my vote for father of the House of Jackson would be the man who read Arya so smoothly, season 5, episode 2. She said, I have nowhere else to go. And he said, you have everywhere else to go. I got my life. Ha ha. To Rod and Karen, keep up the good work. Love you too. That is a good selection.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like the actual sign for House Jackson should be a palm tree. And we should just get all the shady Game of Thrones people.
Ah!
All the people that speak shade. Like, we can get Lady Olena to come join us. Mm-hmm. That black pirate dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we gotta get, Lyanna Mormont, you know? She gotta come be in the house, cause, she speaks shade fluently. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we got, comments on the website. Let's get into these. 1261, happy National Left-Handers Day. We did a feedback show.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about my, you know, just what's funny is I really didn't talk about the left-hand struggle much. I just said, you know, hey, happy Left-Handers Day. We made it. Dr. Uzo 82 says, I love the show. Getting this folder money together to contribute soon. Been listening to just over a year now since hearing your commentary on Andrew. I'm not gay no more, Caldwell on Twib. You ain't gay no less, laugh my fucking ass off. You are hilarious. Anyhow, you know, whatever happened with him? Did he not be gay again? Or did he go back?
He ran here somewhere.
Yeah. I wonder if that dude made it. It's like, come on, man. Listening to your commentary on Mark Lamont Hill voting green is just another example of how some on the left believe in the myth of the grand revolution over incremental progress. I'm sorry. Anyone with a broad view of American history knows that every revolution was really a series of small events over a period of years, decades, but because we boil our history down to seminal events, no one pays attention to all the work in between. Shout out to Stranger Things. Leading to the clashes, protests, and marches that that get credited for bringing the sweeping social changes in our country. Yo, that is a fucking great point. I never even thought about that, but you're right. It is a lot of Selma and the march on the Capitol, and like, mm-hmm. it'll be this one thing, but you're like, that's not all the work they did. That's the culmination of a lot of work and a seminal moment or a great speech. But it's not like people were going fuck these niggers and then finally they heard a good enough speech that they stopped. Like, that's not how that worked,
right?
They were still sicking dogs on niggas.
Come on.
For wanting to go to school, y'all. For wanting to go to school. Wow. Like, oh, what is that life like? Your life gotta be great if that's where you draw the line. It's like, these niggers want to go to school. Disgusting. Sick that water hose on that little child. It'll teach her a lesson. That'll teach her not to want to learn to read and do arithmetic and things of this nature. Change in America is always incremental and the work never stops, which is why I have all the admiration in the world for all the people today who are picking up the mantle to do the thankless work organizing that is necessary. But that will ultimately be forgotten in the series of marches, elections, and hopefully legislation that history will remember years later. The belief that somehow going backwards will foment a real revolution that will change everything about the society with one election of one person is completely antithetical to democracy and to all the work people are and have done and continue to do on the ground to make lasting change happen. Marginalized people can't afford to give up the advances we got, and it's super frustrating to see all this attention given to the Green Party, who only show up to play spoiler and be an outsized voice for a relatively small number of people with low stakes in this or any election. Yeah, we're gonna go into it tomorrow, and we should have Drew and Leslie on from the Interracial John, but
okay.
The dude that's the VP of the Green Party said some shit about like Obama being Uncle Tom or something. I got words for that tomorrow. Like, and not just on some I stand for Obama shit, which I do. I mean, I ain't shame.
Right.
But also just on the fact of how disrespectful that is to black voters and why the surrogates of the that they attract seem to be of a very certain type of black person. Mm-hmm. And that's why they'll never get the black vote. No other party you're not taking us seriously. And I refuse to pretend that you are. And honestly, after seeing that, it makes me question any black person throwing their vote away to those people, because they don't really want it. No. And if they did, they wouldn't talk like that. You know, unless you one of them niggas too, that you're like, I'm anti-black, but I want a position of power so far to the left that I'm willing to sell y'all niggas out. Cause what you not gonna do is talk shit about the majority of black folks that vote Democratic and pretend that you any better than Republicans. Anyway, Imani says, let me be clear, Rod. Oh wait. Now let me be clear. I can't even do it right now. I need to hear him be stupid one more time before I can do the voice. Now let me be clear, Rod. You come at the king, you best not mix flex bomb. You think you can just slide the propaganda in out of left field? This is a good right country, and the streets ain't falling for the okie doke. Let me make this known to the so-called black guy who tips. Do we even know how much he tips? Nah, I didn't think so. Ooh. He put it in the... He put ooh in
the... Yes! That's what you do, dog. Ooh.
Our fans are the
That's
best.
That's gonna be my favorite clip of all time. People gonna start talking to me, I just go say that. They're gonna be like, what the fuck is she talking
about? I can't even do it right now.
Why did she bust out the song?
I can't even do it right now. I'm the king of New York, son. We haven't had a relevant hip-hop artist without copying the South in 10 years, but we the king, baby. You better recognize. So all you had to do was say it in a way I can understand. Facts, B. Now y'all keep doing the best podcast around and having fun doing it, or I'm going to have to put my Tums on and come down there. Well, I don't want that, buddy.
Mm-mm. Don't want them problems.
And the poll was, can you swim? Yes or no? 73% of our audience can swim.
I can't.
I know. You guys are shocked. But that's right. That's why we taking over all y'all Olympics.
Mm-hmm. I can float. Can't swim, though.
And 27%, Karen's in this 27%, she can't swim, y'all.
Mm-mm. I can float.
What happened to swim classes? You was taking them and then you just stopped?
Okay.
How do you take swim classes and you didn't learn to swim? I don't understand. Like, shouldn't that make That's you fail not, the class?
No.
You should, I feel like everyone.
No.
If you, you know what? If you, you should not be able to, the swim class should either be, you get an A and you pass, or you dead because you drowned.
Right.
That's the only way it makes sense.
Okay. The way that the swim classes, it was you go and they just taught you basic stuff. They taught you how to properly breathe. They taught you how to float. We went down to the deep end, but we had the floater stuff that they put up underneath you to keep you above the water. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't like a test at the end where you actually had to demonstrate that you could swim. Like, we didn't have to do that. Or anytime we did practice swimming, it was always on the shallow end. So at any time you could stand up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I need to, not trying to be funny, go, like actually go outside of the Y. Cause, and they got different levels. So maybe I need to go up to the next level. I don't know. Like I say, if I get thrown off a boat, I can float to safety. But you asked me to swim, we all in trouble. No. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm in trouble. I'm a drown.
Yeah, I think you need to take some of them classes.
I do too, because I need to learn how to swim. Because I don't, Layla's 10 and Layla's taking swim classes. I bet you Layla probably can outswim me. I don't want to be someone with her and something happens and I can't save her. So yeah, my goal is to swim, if nothing else, to save my niece and my nephew.
Yeah.
Sebastian, yeah, I got to be able to save Sebastian.
Yeah, I know how to swim. You don't. That's crazy.
No,
you need
I don't.
To know how to swim.
Right, because all these floods and shit, I need to be able to swim my ass away.
Yeah, learn how to swim, man. Get on them classes.
That's my goal.
I hate to correct you on this, Karen, but you need to learn how to swim, okay? All right. Now, I know that that's going to cause a lot of turmoil on Twitter, but you need to learn how to swim. I don't want you to die because of water. That's like a horrible, needless way to die.
Right. And like I said, I'm going to the professional, so I'm just a PSA. Don't hit me up talking about I teach you. Don't hit me up nope. I'm gonna pay somebody who can deal with my panics and my fears, because some of y'all been swimming for so long, y'all just assume that you can just teach somebody how to swim with your special asses.
We already have a plan. I don't know why you getting mad at the audience fictionally out there trying to tell you how to swim. We already have a plan. They have classes at the YMCA. We right. just pay for the class.
It's, yes.
I don't know where all this anger came from, y'all. Okay? The anger not going to keep you from drowning. You got to
no, it's
only
not.
Learn how to swim.
And I know people really want to help, but please don't do that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I hate when the people give, like, all this extra advice and shit. Like, just, yeah, take the class. Don't worry about what they're saying. You know, us verifieds, we just don't respond to undignified people like that.
Well, I am half verified.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord is still working on you, and that's all right.
He gonna fix me one day and show my black ass how to swim so I don't die.
Verified and sanctified is what I say. House Cat says, Canuck, are you okay? So Canuck, are you okay? Oh, Canuck, are you okay? Hold on, I can't even do this. I can't, hold on. Canuck, are you okay? So Canuck, are you okay? Are you okay, Canuck? You been hit by a smooth criminal. So she's talking about the smooth peanut butter.
Yes!
Forrest says, it's cool that The Weeknd gave that money, but I still don't see it for him after his pineapple head.
Hold up. That is pineapple head. Lord.
Hold on. I want to get this shade correct. Hold on. After his pineapple headed beige ass tried to question Donald Glover's blackness.
Yes! The roof went dark. That's good. That's good. You get the hand claps for that one.
Yeah. If I had to flex, if I still had our sound, ooh. I would play. Yeah, I play. Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you deserve that one. That's
you get
good.
A gold star, baby.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't even know he did that, and that is fucked up. So I'll just leave it at that. That being said, you know, hey, glad you're contributing. Like, I know people be. Boy, look, it's hard to let the grudge go, and it's hard to give somebody you don't like credit. And I know how people are. We're all emotional beings. Mm-hmm. But I personally, I'm thankful for when people do shit that's helpful and good for him. I appreciate him being helpful. Doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean I support everything he does, every decision he makes, every word he says. But I'm glad that he's helping. Same thing with Taylor Swift giving money to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Like, we get to sit back in our dry ass homes and talk shit, but if my motherfucking home was flooded and Taylor Swift had a life raft, I'd hop my ass up in there
with no problems.
Right. I kiss on the
cheek.
And
be like, shake it off all the way back to fucking land.
Exactly. So I at some point I'll let that grudge go or whatever. All right, let's see what else happened. Prof Corey says, thank you for this thoughtful conversation about rape and the ease in which with which our society dismisses the damage to victims' lives. Speaking for myself, the Nate Parker stuff is truly disappointing. Mm-hmm. And what hurts the most is the truth that seems to hover below the surface of everything all three of you said, that our society is set up so that part of what bolsters male success is the ability to disregard women's lives and well-being. In short, that disregard is the foundation for a lot of male achievement. When I think about how many women have had to try to create professional success while trying to deal with the fallout of sexual harassment and sexual assault, it's infuriating. How much female genius has been squelched by this violence from both men and society, the society that prioritizes them even in their wrongness? Ugh. Yeah, that's true. You know, it's like when you think about innovation throughout the years, like, yeah, black people have been very innovative. We've been instrumental in all kinds of different progress.
A lot of shit we never.
A lot of us will
for.
Never get credit. A lot of our geniuses are dead. A lot of our geniuses are at the bottom of the Atlantic. A lot of our geniuses were beaten to death and hung from nooses and things of that nature. Like, people don't just rob that person with the violence. They don't just rob that person's family. You rob humanity sometimes.
Yes, you
with
do.
Some of this shit. And you know, that's the sad thing, is like once somebody's gone, they can't contribute. And yeah, that's so in general, yeah, I like the violence towards women that men have, you know, throughout history done, and not just violence in the fear, like in the way of like physically hitting somebody or something, but the violence even as like, you can't vote, don't leave the house,
you can't go to school,
don't learn to read, don't, you can't have a business, you can't, like, even that has probably robbed us of so many talented, important people and stuff. And that's before you even get to what she was bringing up, which is just like in the workplace, how many women have been like, I gotta opt out of this shit because it's getting kind of creepy, or this dude's harassing me, or the job, you know, I reported this guy, I got fired,
right,
things like that,
right? And how many women have a child and be like, you know, fuck it, I will stay at home until my child is of school age because it's not worth dealing with the harassment at my fucking job because I have to take time off for a sick child to go to appointments. Every time I request, I have to fucking jump through goddamn hoops every time because the studies and statistics have shown that women that have children get paid less, mm-hmm, almost than any other group.
Mm-hmm. She also says, black feminist scholar Brittany Cooper put it this way, it's so accurate that it hurts. Just like the police keep on killing, we keep on finding out about these brothers doing this raping, but one got us in the streets and the other got us ... I'm assuming in the sheets. Yeah, and that's, I can't imagine, dog. I love black people. I don't love anti-blackness, and that, mm-mm, and even if you're black, I don't fuck with you if you're anti-black.
Nope.
But like trying to love black people, like all black people, like all different opinions, all different backgrounds, all that shit is difficult enough.
Yes, sir.
That being said, I can't imagine if I found that half of black people were abusive towards me. I can't even imagine what that was like. I don't know what that life is like to be a black woman, and because black women in general have so much love for us as black men, even when it's just not warranted. Right. It's not reciprocated. It is not deserved. It is not earned.
Even when it doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah, like even when it doesn't, like, right. Like, I still saw women saying, like more than one, like, well, if Nate Parker would just apologize, I'd be willing to forgive him. That's, to me, that's like almost unfathomable, because it's like I couldn't imagine in my mind. I was like, oh yeah, there's nothing he can say that will fix quote unquote this for anybody. Like, he's better off just ignoring it because he's crossed that bridge where he's gone 17 years and prospered, and now he can't go back and be like, all right, guys, I really feel sorry, because everybody's going to go, yeah, I don't think you do. You're full of shit, and nobody's going to believe you, or you're just doing this for your movie. And there would still be people like that. But to see some people, and it was only black women that I saw saying this, like a lot of black men were on some, like, it ain't a big deal, or I'm going to still see them. You know, like, if they were on that side of, mm-hmm, I want to forgive them, they had already done so. He didn't need to say anything else. But for a lot, like, I only saw black women that are like, if he apologized, I'll be willing to forgive him for it. And I can't imagine that level of like love for some, you know what I'm saying, for the idea of this person, because I was just like, yeah, so I guess fuck him, that's I don't need to see the movie, and I'm good. It's, even if he said I'm sorry, I'm just like, yes, yeah, like what's to be done with that?
Yeah, but what a lot of people fail to realize when it comes to black women, our love is irrational and illogical when it comes to black men. And I think it's irrational and illogical based off of the shit that black men have to deal with and off of the shit that we have to deal with, because women are such an, black women particularly, are such an abused group and society, and primarily a lot of religion and shit like that. When it comes to black women, you're supposed to love your man. You're supposed to love your mate. You're supposed to love black men. You're supposed to just support them. You're supposed to be submissive. You're supposed to be obedient. You're supposed to, you know, let them do whatever they want to. A lot of black women have seen very, very, very dysfunctional relationships, and they think that's how it's supposed to work. A lot of people have uncles and cousins and relatives and even their families, even their dads who have cheated. And my grandpa had multiple families going on at the same time, and those women were dedicated. Those women were there. A lot of those women never cheated on those men. They constantly took them back in. A lot of them would entertain the mistresses and things like that. So for a lot of black women, it's almost ingrained in us that our feelings, our opinions, our views, how we feel about the situation don't matter. I have to protect the black man no matter what. I have to forgive him. It's like me not forgiving him would cause more damage to me. And a lot of that comes to, in my opinion, religion is in that, the culture. Also, I think a lot of black people were raised kind of how I was, keep your business in house, you know. And I think that's why a lot of times when something negative come out about black people fucking panic, but like, oh no, don't let the white people know what's happening to us. Oh no, don't let the white people know we're raping people. Oh no, don't let the white people know we are just as fucked up as they are. Yes, we are. But that doesn't erase us getting killed, and that doesn't erase people protesting, and that doesn't erase that too. Those issues are there. I can discuss two things at the same time. I can be like, don't shoot me, and also you don't rape me. You can do that. But for a lot of people, they don't want to hear that. They go, no, don't shoot me, but I ought to be able to rape you because I'm a man. Because like you said, I didn't think about it. As you said the other day, black men are men first. They're men first and black second. When it comes to black women, it's reversed. Black women are black first and women second. Because at the end of the day, black women are supposed to put our black before everything else, and it's forced upon us whether we want it to or not. Is it fair? Is it right? No. And a lot of times, I can't speak for anybody else, but me, I had to train myself to be like, fuck that. I am a woman first. I'm a woman first. I am a woman. I'm a mother. I am a female first, and then my blackness is second. I had to get to that point, because if you put your blackness before everything else, it will disappoint you. It will let you down. You'll go crazy. You'll want to cuss everybody out, because it's a burden that black women have to bear, that black men never have to bear this cross. And a lot of times this cross is put on us at a very, very young age. When you're small as a little girl, don't be fast. Don't ever talk to that little boy. You know, every time you interact with the little boy, it's an interaction. Or let's say you happen to be a little girl and you happen to like basketball or football or sports that quote unquote most people consider male dominated sports. It's all of a sudden you're queer and there's something wrong with you. Even if you are not, you're automatically placed in these boxes as a female, and it becomes a problem. And it's at really, really, really young ages that this stuff is embedded and ingrained in females. And a lot of times it prevents females from being all that they could be. It prevents females from embracing their sexuality, particularly. It prevents females for a lot of black females for even loving people outside of their race. It prevents us from being open-minded enough to date a Latino or Mexican or Hispanic, date a white man. You know, it took a lot of black women, they wouldn't even consider dating outside their race until they're grown. But when it comes to black men, they can date whoever the fuck they want to. You can date a black woman at a white female at 16 and then not be, it's nothing wrong. You can go out and you can, you know, date an Asian woman and there's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to the black female, we put in these boxes, and everything about us is based off your blackness. You got to be black first. You want to do something? Hey, you got to be black first. You want to do this? You got to be black first. Your womanness is put to the side. And then, in my opinion, for the mothers out there, even with people that are mothers, it don't matter if you're in a relationship or not, or if you're with your husband or not, the same thing. You are black first. Because a lot of times when it comes particularly to mothers, black mothers, It's even harder than women that don't have children, because all of a sudden everything is about your husband, you know, and your children, and then you come last. That's why you have black females that have mental breakdowns. That's why you have black females that, you know, snap at their children and cuss their children out all the time, because you don't have a break. You know, a lot of times in most households, not every household, is getting better. The black men go to work, come home, and sit on his ass and watch TV and do other shit. But what does that black woman do? She has a full-time job. She gets her ass up, she goes to work, she comes home, and when she comes home, she got another fucking goddamn job for 5 hours. I got to bathe the kids. kids. I got to watch the kids. I got to do homework. I got to do projects. I got to do all this shit. A lot of times, most black men sit on their asses because society has showed them that this is what you're supposed to do. I'm supposed to be the breadwinner. But she worked 40 hours a week just like you work 40 hours a week. And she didn't make the child by herself. So this needs to be a union. This is to be a unit. But society has taught us that her blackness and her blackness is taking care of the household. That woman shit come last. And it's one of those things too where you sit back and think about it. And in my opinion, I think a lot of marriages a lot of times have issues because, you know, you have these situations where, you know, these men are doing the quote unquote man thing that they've been taught to do, and they've watched their fathers do this, and they've watched their uncles do this, and it's been inbred in them that you don't do fucking housework. Housework is a woman's job. You don't do this, you don't do that. Do men things. And then that's been inbred in you, so you do the same thing that you've seen, that it becomes a cycle. And this woman, she's been up for 12, 14, 16 hours, and then you won't talk about it. I'm like, baby, give me some pussy. Fuck you, she's tired. You know, and I'm just keeping that real. She's tired, she's cooked, she's clean, she's bathed, she's done all these things, and she doesn't have the energy or the effort. And then a lot of times, in my personal opinion, is particularly when it comes to marriage and relationships, it's two people in this. She didn't make the child by herself, so she needs help. So a lot of times, when dudes actually help, it makes a difference. Because a lot of times people wonder why the love is lost. The love is lost because your woman's not turned on. She's exhausted. If you want to turn a woman on, particularly women that have children, let me tell you how you turn a woman on. When she steps in the house, already have it clean. You don't have to do it often, every now and then. When she steps in the house, be like, baby, I'm going to cook. Order food. When she steps in the house, have a babysitter. Be like, you know what? It's me and you tonight. That's what get her pussy wet. Because you're like, okay, you actually care and love. Like, those things that matter. But you know what? At the end of the day, my blackness comes first and my womanness comes last. You know, me being a woman doesn't matter. And these are things that really, really frustrate me. And also, it's one of those things, just like women don't know what ticks in men's mind, men don't give a fuck about women in general, so they don't even ask. They don't want to find out. They don't want to see. Because if you sat down and talked to your woman, you would realize that you're flawed in a relationship too, but you're too busy pointing out the shit that she ain't doing and ignoring the shit that she is doing.
Okay, I had to correct you on a couple things there. Okay, first of all, no, I'm just kidding. I think that is how it is. Like, it's like women have to, black women specifically, it is about, especially when it comes to shit like this, you have to hold your tongue. Because if you say that you don't feel comfortable supporting a dude that seems to be an unapologetic rapist, well, you're not falling in formation for blackness, and you're not pro-black enough. And that pro-black shit seems to flow one way. You know what I mean? Like, it's never that way for, like, say, a Beyonce, or say, you know, like, Oprah. Like, we can always give our opinions as men. You know, how many relationship, quote unquote, experts are there on Twitter and social media that start every status with ladies and shit like that? But, you know, their life could be in fucking shambles. It doesn't matter. It's just the fact that I'm a man, I have a penis, I can say these things. But, I think that is, like, when it comes, especially when it comes to stuff like these controversies that involve, like, you know, R. Kelly, you know, we're talking about, Mike Tyson, Nate Parker. There's a whole lot of y'all trying to bring the black man down, treatment that is going on with black women. So, I completely understand that level, but that's not my lived experience, so I'll never have that complete, I mean, frustration. It has to be frustrating to not even be able to broach a black person and a black man and be like, well, he's flawed in this way, and this is kind of fucked up. Which is so funny, because niggas will turn on dudes for the weirdest shit. Like if you said, like, with Michael Sam being gay, people were like, oh, it's gonna be a distraction. He can't be in a locker room. Man, I don't be in the locker room around a gay dude. Man, they, you know, he out here doing reality shows. Or, you know, Cam Newton didn't talk at a press conference. Or, the weirdest shit, where it's just like, okay, this dude, fuck him. And we've all decided, you know, he could be the most pro-black nigga in the world behind the scenes, but fuck that nigga, cause he said, because he recorded Swaggy P talking about cheating or something. You know, like, we do pick our things. Draymond Green hit people in the balls. Nobody liked Draymond Green no more. Like, but then when this shit like this is like, so why you gotta be so tough on a rapist? A dude was hitting me up on Twitter last night, and I'm not gonna say his name because I don't, you know, I don't actually don't, but y'all can see my timeline. I'm verified. But he was saying, like, this kind of, without coming all the way out, he kind of like, why are people being so hard on Nate Parker? Isn't it really, like, isn't everybody kind of being a hypocrite and they're just performing for social media and they don't really believe? And I'm like, yo, why are you questioning sympathy for a fucking rapist, though? Like, how much do you want, how much sympathy is everybody supposed to have? Like, an unapologetic rapist, at what point are you supposed to say, I believe this dude raped somebody, but can we chill out? You know, not to mention, I really, my opinion is that this was put out by his, the interview was set up by, I think, Sony or whoever the movie, it was set up now, because I think they want to get in front of it. By the time the movie comes out, people will, not that people ever really care about rape, but they definitely won't be caring in a couple months. Like, it might be a couple pickets, a couple sit-ins type things, but in general, the vast majority of people are going to be like, yeah, so I either going to see the movie or I'm not, but I don't really give a fuck, because what, I'm going to not go see Bryan Singer movies, I'm not going to see Woody Allen movies, I'm not going to see Roman Polanski movies, I'm not going to see, you know, like you, like, you know, like, it's just, you almost have to laugh, because it's like, as a gender, we have just been so fucked up that it's like, who would you, would you ever be entertained if you had to cut out everybody that's being fucked up towards women? Like, what would we have left? You know what I mean? It's like, I can't see that Michael Fassbender movie. I really wanted to, but he's fucked up, you know? Like, anyway.
Yeah, we talked about
it. You gotta laugh because it's so sad.
Right, we talked about this, but I believe for some black men, not all, I believe that this Nate Parker thing fucks up their bro time, fucks up their man time. Like, I think a lot of dudes seen it. They got excited. So, and I can completely understand there's something about me. The person looks like me. And that, they was like, that movie's going to be flames. Because when it came out, the trailer, it was excitement. And I was like, fuck, I can't enjoy the movie. Like, I can't bring his name up without somebody arguing a debate with me. And it's like, fuck. Instead of going, I'm going to watch the movie anyway. If you are, ain't moving on. You know,
yeah.
But it's one of them things where it's like, no, you, how dare you come fuck up my happy time, my bro time with your bullshit? Because that's technically what you're saying, because you don't care and yeah. You don't have to care.
Well, also, I think the pro-black narrative and the, listen, none of that, in my opinion, none of that shit is the reason why people do this. Why when you see these defenses, none of that shit is that. All of this shit is because we don't value and we hate women in general.
Right.
And I'm not talking about just men, society, everybody, right. Men and women.
I mean, women hate women.
We have been trained to be like, don't believe that bitch, or, you know, you wanted to give it up somehow. Like, I don't know the situation. I don't even need to know. All I know is he was acquitted and that's it. And I'm done. Like, you're like, oh, so like Zimmerman was acquitted? All I know is not guilty. Why? It's not even the same. Why are you bringing it up? It's not even the same. You know, like, it's that kind of thing. So you have to sit back and be like, wait, the one commonality in all this shit is that we are real quick to blame women. We're real quick to dismiss the harm done. We're real quick to dismiss allegations. We're real quick to dismiss accusations. I mean, think about it. Roman Polanski is not pro-black person, but you got Whoopi Goldberg talking about, well, I mean, she was a fast 13-year-old, you know, like, how old is 13 anyway type of shit, you know? So it's not really just, it's deeper than that. It's even deeper than just, like, race is a thing we can hide behind, but the disdain of women is the impetus, in my opinion. Cause we'll defend a fucking, this dude was going off about Jameis Winston on Facebook on this status, and he was like trying to litigate the case in the fucking, like, face. I was like, dog, right? I'm like, I'm not a lawyer and I don't feel like going through all the evidence with you, but I will say this, I covered this shit on my sports show. I've covered the details of this on a regular show at some point. My whole point has been, it's inconclusive. We will never know. When a university and a police department conspire to be like, let's slow the fuck down at any level of investigation, you won't know the truth. You know, you can barely know the truth if you immediately hop on something. If you wait 7 months to be like, oh, we should probably interview this dude, nigga, you're never gonna catch that person. You know, and that's just the way it is. But the point being, he was ready to be like, well see, remember the toxicology report, and then, you know, there was this, and then this witness said that, and then she changed her story. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're one of those dudes that you decided to stake your claim on. There's no way this could possibly, I'm like, or it could have been a rape and you just can't prove it. This is like, I think a lot of times you have to live in that space, and it's so uncomfortable because we like being in very black or white spaces. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of where I am with this shit. I'm not a person who goes, okay, so you were accused of something, so therefore you did do it and that's it. But I am a person that goes, you were accused of something that not everybody gets accused of. Uh-uh. And as far as I'm concerned, I can't just walk away like this shit didn't happen. Like that seems to be the place where everybody's at with it. Like, well, I want to pretend this isn't happening, you know, or I want to say this person's innocent, or I want to say this person didn't do anything wrong or whatever. When it seems like the truth in a lot of this shit is always these very gray areas where it comes down to who do you believe. And in a lot of these situations, women don't make these accusations lightly. You know what I mean? I'm not saying never, but just in general, these sort of accusations and the things you have to go through in order to like even make these claims, like the test on your body, the amount of times you have to visit the police, the times you have to go to court,
the mental awareness, like,
right, not to mention, you know, when people start putting your name out there, like, which a lot of, you know, people frown on, but they'll put the accuser's name out there, and the being ostracized, sometimes being targeted, all these things, like, I don't take that lightly. And when I see somebody willing to go through all that shit, it does make me go, I think that person's probably telling the truth.
Right, because most women were like, I don't have time, especially in social media age. I mean, it's not worth it.
Think about when a cop does something fucked up to a black person. I don't go through all the steps. I don't get a lawyer. I don't go down to the police department and do anything. I don't even call in a complaint. I don't get their badge number. I don't get their name. I don't do any of that. I just go, police were being fucked up today. I'm glad I made it home alive.
Right.
And tomorrow's another day. But every time a police car pulls up behind me, I feel something. Mm-hmm. So it's like that, but it's not like these people violated my body. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. It's even, I don't know. Anyway, people don't give a fuck, so.
Nope.
That's why they protecting them, because they don't give a fuck, man. And I'm not saying everyone's protecting them, but for the most part, people are like, the ones who are on some, this is a conspiracy, and this movie is too important for y'all to fuck up, y'all black feminists and shit like that. Like, okay. I think Nate Parker probably raped that woman. The harassment after the fact just seemed damning. I was really looking forward to seeing Birth of a Nation. Yeah, see, that's the other thing. There's a third guy involved in some of this shit, and he testified too. And people are still on some, like, he got off. So what y'all worried about? It's like, so I guess the third guy, y'all don't, he was lying. For no reason at all. okay. I still might, because I want to support a black film and the subject matter is very important, but I don't think I have it in me to support any of his future projects. I'll probably never be able to watch Beyond the Lights again, and I love that movie. That's sad, EBE, but I'll just say this. if people want to see this movie, I don't have a problem with them. Mm-mm. I honestly understand, and I'm not too. Like, I might not go see it, to be honest, but I don't buy this bullshit of like, and if you do this, then you saying raping people is okay. I don't believe that at all. To me it's just like R. Kelly. I didn't stop listening to R. Kelly because I was so outraged. I stopped listening to R. Kelly because he got whacked at the same fucking time that scandal came out. So it just coincided into me being like, this music is not good anymore. I don't think I want to listen to it. You know what I mean? Like, it just happened to be that way, especially with, his music being so sexual and so childish, it was almost like, oh, this nigga singing about little girls all the time. And with like actors and stuff, sometimes I'll watch a whole thing and never think about that shit, because the character they're playing isn't a rapist or a woman beater or racist or whatever the fuck. You know, I watch Mel Gibson movies since he's went on that racist rant, because I'm like, the character not racist. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I would stop watching if in the middle of the movie he just turned towards the camera and was like, a pack of niggas gonna rape you. I'd be like, oh, turn this off. I can't watch this no more. So yeah, I don't blame people that are going to see it. I mean, it's still an important movie to a lot of people. The only thing I would say is if people think this movie is really important, but they don't want to support this guy, there are these things called books. Now, I'm not, I know, it's shocking. It's
crazy. Probably give you more history than that movie.
It's funny to me too. But yeah, they're books, so yeah, there's a bunch of ways to get disinformation without having to support them if that's what it's about. Really Dark Knight says, I live in a household where I have two lefties and two righties. I watched some of the issues that my youngest daughter and wife have had being left-handed. I've also told my oldest daughter to keep watching out for those for their sinister asses. Don't be writing up here no more. Really Dark Knight. That's how you get banned from the show, okay, buddy? The poll was pretty simple. Does Nate Parker's latest interview change anything? No, I still feel the same way I did before. Yes, I was going to see the movie, and now I won't be. Or yes, I wasn't going to see the movie, but now I will go. 4% of people said they will go now that he did that last interview. So I guess to some extent they feel like it's been explained. 42% about said they were going to see the movie, but after the interview with him saying, you know, I had an unfortunate thing 17 years ago and it really hurt me and stuff, they won't be going to see it. And 54% say they just feel the same way they did before, which, you know, which doesn't mean they will or won't see it, just they knew that's how it was probably gonna go down, I'm guessing. We had episode 1263, DJ Who Kid Is This? And we got some comments. Flow Girl says, I did not know that the Nightly Show was being canceled. I love that show. I just can't believe there wasn't more that could have been done to save the show. I think you're right that he may have been a little too real for the white folks' comfort. I hope someone else picks him up. Too informative to let go. I watch W. Kamau Bell on United Shades of America when it comes on, and he does play it a little safe. Does his wife being white have anything to do with it? I don't know. I always wonder how that works when a black person has a non-black spouse but still proclaims to be pro-black. Real question, I truly don't understand. Can y'all enlighten me? I mean, obviously I don't have a white spouse or whatever, so personal experience I can't, but I don't think that's that far-fetched. I mean, essentially someone that is pro-black is actually pro-equality. Yeah. It's not like being white supremacist or some shit. Mm-mm. Like, you can be pro-black, but you're essentially, it's like saying Black Lives Matter. You're essentially saying I matter as well.
Right.
If you find somebody that you love and they're on that same shit or they at least understand it, I don't see why you couldn't love them. I mean, that would kind of be the antithesis of your point if you said, I can't marry a white person, I don't fuck with y'all on any level. Like, that would kind of, I mean, to some people they might not feel that way, but I feel like that would just almost be like the end. You've been so hurt that you've now become the opposite, where you're like, I refuse to recognize y'all as love interest or whatever. That being said, there are people like that, and if they feel that way, that's fine. But my main thing is that I don't think love works on a macro level. Mm-mm. Like that. Like, nobody's heart or sexual organs is for the power of the people.
Right.
And I think people like to judge folks from the outside looking in this abstract, unrealistic point of view. And I think it's unfairly harsh to be like, well, you say you this, but you don't do that. It's like, yeah, but individually, you don't get to pick all that shit, mm-hmm. really. So if individually you fall in love with somebody, that's your business, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And as long as that isn't like some abusive situation, it's two consenting adults, I don't understand people's fascination with pointing that shit out, you know, to be honest. Like, I understand the humor of it. I'm not trying to act like it's not funny when people point it out. Like, I've definitely laughed at quite a few gossip headlines of swirly gone wrong or some stupid shit like that.
Gossip headlines are a mess.
Right. Like, I will laugh at that. But in general, I don't believe that a person's dedication to equality is measured by who they fucking are living with or loving or having kids with and shit like that. I don't believe that. And I think that's a weird litmus test to put on anybody.
Right.
I only think about that when those people say or do things that are anti-black. And then I go, okay, I see what this is. Like,
right.
You know, if somebody was like, cause we've seen the other, like, mm-hmm. like people that really date women of other races just to be an insult to black women. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen that.
Yes, we have.
And that don't look like this, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, I think one thing that is interesting though, and I don't know how to truly define it, but it's interesting how much of black is a brand for people. And that brand places them in rooms with a lot of white people with influence and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So their commodification of blackness may lead them to spaces where the majority of social interaction they have is with white folks, which I don't think love is some great mystery. I think if you have mostly social interaction with a group of people, you're going to end up with one of those people. So I wouldn't be shocked at that. We all travel into these spaces on our own, like, you know, whether it's for work, the higher up you go, the whiter it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's for media, the higher up you go, the whiter it gets. Like, every academia, you know, which is where a lot of black people have kind of traded on blackness and branded blackness and made it their study and stuff, you end up in these very white spaces. So I could understand kind of the propensity of, or not the probability of, people falling in love or dating people that are white and stuff. Like, I can understand it. That being said, unless they say something anti-black, I don't know how you just jump into, you got a white woman or you got a white man. Yeah. Or whatever. And I kind of hate to see people do that to each other, because it seems so not productive
and it's irrelevant. You can love somebody, you can be black, love somebody outside your race, and still love your blackness, and still stand for black people, and still be like, I'm not here for this shit. And right. For some reason, a lot of black people act like, well, if you don't love somebody black, you're not black anymore. And that is fucking ridiculous, because I don't care who you with, every day you wake up, you have to deal with being black.
Yeah, let me start a new session real quick, and we'll go on. Audience. Alright. Go live. Yes. And I'll add you back, Karen. Alright, just added you. Alright, but yeah, so I don't get into all that. And I think when it's people's personal marriages and shit, you'll never know anyway. You'll never know. Like, unless somebody tells you or something, you don't fucking know what the fuck you're talking about.
Because it's not assumptions.
You don't live there every day. You're not there for every conversation. You're like, we don't know. And yeah, I don't know what, you know, as far as, you know, W. Kamau Bell, man, I mean, he might be playing it safe in your opinion, but it might be playing it safe because he's on CNN now. Brother lost a job when he had FXX. Maybe he felt like he was over the line. Also, that dude is a genuinely big, tall, affable motherfucker, man. Like, he just a likable ass, like, dude. I don't think
he really is.
He's really in a situation where what he's doing is something that I don't think just anybody can do.
Mm-mm.
Like, that dude, like, it's almost like his life has led him towards, you know, being able to have the demeanor to even go in those spaces and have those conversations with people, because he is such a big dude and he's probably had to adjust his whole life to being friendlier, being nicer, you know, mm-hmm. embracing his goofiness and right. all that shit.
Just so you don't come across intimidating, refresh.
Okay.
And a lot of black people that are kind of taller or bigger or abnormal, like, people better realize that racism and just the way white people think about us has caused so many black people to adjust themselves to being the whiteness. And it does not mean they don't love themselves, and it does not mean they don't love their blackness. It's certain things that they just kind of adjusted just so you can make white people feel more comfortable.
Right.
Things like maybe when you talk, always being aware of your tone, you know, always being aware of your movement,
smiling,
right, always yeah. being aware of your expressions, always being aware of your emotions. Because if you don't, you automatically know it causes problems. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you're a coon, quote unquote. It doesn't mean you don't love yourself. It's just that you have to navigate this real world. So a lot of people adjust.
Yeah, what people might see as playing safe, I don't think he plays it safe Mm-mm. necessarily, because by what he's doing is dangerous as fuck, in my right. opinion. But anyway, man, I got a lot of respect for that dude, and
me too.
I, like I said, that's for other people if they want to judge somebody by who they married, on just yeah. their skin color. I leave me out of it, because I don't do that.
I'm not here for it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fucked up unless they are saying or doing something that's like anti-black. I mean, more than likely they just got a down ass white person. We all know or have met a white person where you just like, this person gets it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Here's a better question. Speaking of marrying the enemy, why so many women married to men, right?
Let's keep that real.
I mean we're being honest, right? Like, that's like, marriage is an individual union of people that think they're compatible. That's all it is. It's not this complex, like, and I need my love to represent for all the Africans and all the this and all. It doesn't mean that shit, because that's like, oh, you a feminist but you married to a man? It's like, yeah, I love this one and he ain't a problem, or his problems are shit that I can handle.
Right.
That's it. It's not, you know, and I think it would be that along every single type of spectrum where there's a difference. Not to mention, there's a lot of people that are the same race that just ain't shit to each other. So,
right.
Take your happiness where you can find it.
Right. And, you know, like, you're a feminist, but you married a man. It's one of the things, like, yeah, I fight for my right to marry a man, just like I fight for somebody else's right to marry another woman, a transgender, transsexual. Like, the feminist is options. Like, I fight mm-hmm. for you to be able to do
it's equality,
whatever. Right?
It's about true. Everybody having the same freedom of choice,
and it's true equality, not my equality. It's right. true equality for whatever it is that you want to do.
She says, I also didn't know that Cam backpedaled like that. I too am disappointed, although I'm an always and forever Bucks fan. He's one of my favorite players. Who got to him and scared him into submission? He seems like he was woke, but maybe he was just sleepwalking. Somebody wake him all the way up. That's pretty good. By the way, Cam's baby mama is black, and so is his child. So, you know, maybe if he would have had a woke ass white woman, he'd be talking right. I don't know what the rules are, guys, is what I'm saying.
I don't know either.
Steve Harvey married to black women, to black mm-hmm. women.
Right, women. Yeah,
he it was Freudian, but it's true.
Yes, he's been married to multiple women, and all of them have been.
And
black.
He hate them all, and he hate them all.
All of them have been black.
You dropped all the news today. I literally laughed out loud every single time Rod went, "Ooh, oh, I got it back, y'all." Too funny. Karen, I need you to do your part on the Guess the Race song. I'll sing along until that part comes up, because I want to hear you, please and thank you.
I'm going to get on it.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate
you. I forget again.
I appreciate y'all so much. As soon as I got it like that, I slide y'all a couple dollars. Okay, that's enough. I said too much. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
And EVE says, this is a response to Flow Girl's question about being pro-black with a non-black spouse. Not sure if there's actually a concrete answer to the question, depending on what your definition of pro-black is. If it simply means loving your blackness and loving your people, then absolutely. Loving your blackness does not hinder you from falling in love with someone from another race. Speaking from personal experience, it's possible. It happens to it helps to have a partner who understands and empathizes with daily struggles of being black and recognizing their privilege. I'm sure. I mean, honestly, the other part of this that I think people leave out is you're not gonna agree on everything anyway,
right?
People pick their own shit. James Carville married to a Republican. I don't know how the fuck that works. I guess they just really into hate sex. That's their shit. But then they both go out the house and they're like spokesmen for their sides or shit. I don't know how it works. I don't know, you know, that's there between them. I stay out of people's marriages as much as I possibly can. Cause I ain't trying to deal with nobody's shit.
Mm-mm.
Somebody asked, did we see, oh, okay. Yeah, Nate Parker's, accuser has committed suicide. I think we covered it at some point. If not, it came out. She like, committed suicide in 2012. Mm-hmm. And, her brother did like an interview about it, and Nate Parker released a statement. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, on the one hand, it's funny because if she was alive, they'd just be fucking harassing her right now.
Yes, they would.
And then also, if she, it appears that she had a break directly after this incident. So, you know, and I don't know what I would expect him to say anyway. Like, well, this changes everything. I actually, like, he might be breathing a sigh of relief. Like, cool, she can't say nothing now. I don't know. It's all such an ugly situation.
Right, and from what I've heard, she's tried several times. She finally succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also one of them things where people go, what about them? Okay, what about her? Like, the woman tried suicide several times. But fuck her, right? Okay, get out of here.
Yeah, so... Max says, excellent use of the ooh sounder. I think you could give Flex a lesson because his punchlines didn't have near as much impact or deserve the sounder. Well, I was making that sound every single time myself, so mm-hmm. I need to go download it, and now that I have that no audio clips. Yeah, you missed that earlier, I guess, when I said it, but I have no audio clips.
Oh,
we gotta mail off this computer today. We gotta go to FedEx before we go see.
Yeah, we gotta get our sound clips. Come on.
I gotta go redo every one of those.
Right, you got some good ones too.
Son of a bitch.
We had them all queued up. This shit won't happen again, y'all. Everything going in the backup.
Oh, I'm so mad. Does racism have anything to do with the criticism Cam Newton gets? The options were, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. No shit. Of course. Yes. Affirmative. Duh. And yep. Yep got 0%. Duh got 5.4%. 8.1% said affirmative. Also, 8.1% also said yes. Of course was coming in at 13.5%. Second was no shit at 29%. And lastly was 35% for come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Karen, which one were you?
I guess come on, buddy.
All right. The next episode is Crib by Shooting. and then let's see. That's when we read the transcript for Nate Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Flea says, Lord. LOL, Danish, Gomani, Southeast Asian, Indian, not Middle Eastern Arab, Guyana, South American, has a large population of people from India. Love the podcast. Listen, so many of y'all corrected me on this. And this is why I correct Karen all the time. Because y'all niggas really will send 37 emails about the same fucking thing.
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, Karen doesn't have to read them. She doesn't look at the email. She doesn't go through any of the stuff that I
Mm-mm.
go through with these comments. And y'all can't just write in and be like, hey, you messed up. Y'all have to write like a fucking page of shit rather than just, hey man, it was this. Now it's inconsequential in the scheme of things. I mean, nobody guessed that either. But don't let that stop you from writing in.
Please don't.
With this long ass. No, I'm being sarcastic. Please do. Stop writing in. I don't need, like, somebody will get it, okay? I got tweets, I got emails, I got fucking comments. Like, Jesus Christ, yeah, people.
I'm gonna tell you right now, if you don't like me saying that faux for that stuff, I'm sorry. It is faux.
Right.
They wow. are delicious noodles.
I don't like you correct. I'm saving myself work. Karen don't even care.
Nope.
Gotta listen to y'all. Max says, Rod, the rationale for pushing people more folks to deposit in, not just send money to black banks, is increase their capitalization. I'm fairly certain that banking regulations tie the amount that a bank can lend to the amount of deposits held. Many minority-owned small businesses have difficulty obtaining capital from larger banks. Black-owned banks often have a different risk appetite due to their stated purpose for serving the community. The end game is increased capital availability for more black-owned small businesses. Sorry if you already knew that and you were speaking more rhetorically. No, I didn't know that. My thing for that is this. So I put my money in a black bank. They just gonna be gambling on Pookie's business? Hell no. No, I'm just kidding, y'all.
I hope not.
I'm just kidding, guys. Calm down. That sounds great. Everybody should do that. I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, I don't have a problem with that either. But the bigger issue is, yeah, you're a black owned bank, but you know, you still have to run the same regulations in the FDIC. Like, all that shit's the same. The standards of qualifying for shit needs to change. That's the bigger issue. Not trying to be funny. They're putting your money in the black owned bank. I'm glad they get the support. I'm glad the money goes there. They need it. But at the end of the day, black people need to be able to qualify for these loans. Cause what's the point in putting your money in a black owned bank and doing this shit if you can't even qualify it based off of rules that the bank didn't set in place? Somebody else set these rules in place.
Well, I'm sure a lot of this comes down to discrimination because banks do have their own shit in place, I bet. So I'm, you know how it is. I mean, we know for a fact that we get higher loans from white banks institutions. Like,
that's true too.
You know, I completely understand the rationale for being like, maybe a black bank would give us a fair shot. I don't know what the statistics and numbers are. I would like to see it proven that that black people get treated better at black banks. Right. And that's not to be, callous or anything, mm-mm. but I mean, it would be a great selling point as right. well, like to advertise, like, yo, these motherfuckers give you a 6% auto loan over here and you can get a 4% from us.
Come on.
You know, like, come here. We don't discriminate. Like, that's a huge issue for a lot of black people is I walk into a place to get a home loan and my first thought is, are they going to fuck me because I'm black? Like, and they right. know that they have decided we fuck every black person walking through here.
Yeah, am I gonna be the next one in the class action lawsuit for 5 years getting hundreds of maybe possibly thousands of dollars back that I overpaid?
Alright, now look at this one. Mimi. Hey Rod and Karen, love the podcast. However, I hate to be the actually person, but actually Danish Gomani, the person who called in the bomb threat on his girlfriend in the Caribbean Airlines flight, is East Indian and not Middle Eastern. I even did a double check on the trusty Google to make sure. But I also know this firsthand from originally being from Southern Caribbean. A large portion of the Guyanese population are descendants of the indentured immigrants who originated from India in the late 1800s and early 1900s. India is not a Middle Eastern country, but I can see why there would be a misunderstanding since people from both regions sort of share similar physical attributes. Either way, it definitely continues to prove that one's actual or even apparent race does not truly determine his or her behavior, whether good or bad. Mistakes happen, but it does not take away from your entertaining and informative podcast. Keep up the good work.
Yes, history lesson.
You nerd.
History lesson, baby.
Nah, thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Really Dark Knight says, I refuse to vote in this poll if you don't have an I don't care button. And the poll was, who you got, Bow Wow or Lil Romeo? And Romeo won 90% to 10. So good for you, Romeo. Last one, we got White Guy Problems. Okay, that was the last episode we did this week. And we had a lot of comments. Far says, Karen, your tax remix of Fiending, good lord. You had me rolling at my desk. I don't want to hear nan nigga acting like Karen don't bring the last to the party ever again.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Everybody was hitting us up, letting us know how much they love the Fiending remix. Prof Corey says, yes to your independence. I too constantly joke about when I finally sell out, but my partner claims he doesn't think it will ever happen. I find this offensive because, hey sucker, acknowledge that I can change. But I find myself thinking the same about y'all. You won't be selling out anytime soon. Grateful to have found y'all.
Thank you, baby.
Appreciate you. Hey man, integrity is priceless. Amani says, "See, Rod, the thing that you and Karen are missing about Robbins is there's a reason all these kids are white. You're thinking about the way a black kid would react. You got to add in a dose of white privilege to think, of course, I should be a hero too. Bruce probably stole the kid's Xbox and told him the Joker did it. Only one way to get it back now." I'll say this, man. I feel like white kids would be even lazier being that rich. They'd be like, all right, good luck fighting crime. I'm gonna go
eat some old Cheetos,
do shots off of some girl's stomach. I don't know what white people do. And Amy Schumer is lying. Like, he's like, I'm gonna go on the internet and complain about social justice warriors. That's what I do, is Robin. I fight the social justice warriors. And Amy Schumer is lying like shit. She gave an interview where her point that the rape apologists didn't write for her shows was that they were on her hiatus, so technically no one writes for a show. That's not how it works, Amy. And the whole I don't really read this Facebook, so I don't see the rants he goes on excuse doesn't fly when you're the head of the show. It was funny hearing that on the same episode you went off on rape apologists and comedy and society, and I appreciate both of your commentaries and not having to try to kiss anyone's ass. Hey man, yeah, that's the thing, man. For some, a person's talent can make people really feel like they're indispensable. And I've read some of her interviews and stuff. I don't envy Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. I know that, especially for black people and shit, like, it's easy to like come down on her, and deservedly so for some of the jokes and shit she's done. But honestly, she ended up getting championed by white feminists TM when she wasn't asking for that shit.
Yep.
And I really think her comedy started, like, it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy when they started promoting her as the new feminist icon. Then her comedy and her show started gravitating towards that audience. But that's an audience that eats its own children anyway. I don't know why people really fuck with that type of environment. They're you know, it's not healthy or very supportive anyway. Mm-mm. But I don't think she ever thought of herself as a feminist icon type person. And I think she said some things that have been contradictory. She's made some jokes that aren't appropriate. She's still a comedian. She's still gonna find her voice. A lot of why people are funny is because they say and do shit that's not appropriate or approved. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. So to me, it was kind of weird to see her go through this. And essentially what they're doing is they want to see Kurt Metzger lose his job or opportunities, and they would like for her to be the instrument that does so, especially with her, you know, talking about her being sexually assaulted in her newest book and some of the jokes that she's had on her shows and stuff. So I think she's in the way as far as most people are concerned. Like, you're in the way of our revenge. But yeah, I don't envy her because she didn't write that shit. You know what I mean? But you do have to answer for it. Like, you can't act like it's crazy to ask you about it. It's not. But at the same time, it's like, fuck, man, this nigga again. So I think it's really convenient for her to downplay the role he has on her show and to downplay her relationship with him and to be like, he's a friend and he's just like that. Yeah, she could fire him and shit. She could. But what a lot of people aren't recognizing is the second she does that, she takes a huge amount of flack from comedy in general. Like, it's so funny, man. That's why I said it's just a workplace. None of this shit is real. You know what I mean? Like, the second that she would fire that dude, so many comedians that really don't have a dog in this fight.
Nope.
Who really don't have any level of skin in the game with this kind of shit.
Mm-mm.
Would immediately be like, she's a sellout. She's not for freedom of speech and all the shit that she probably, you know, deals with already, she would have to add this to that pile of shit. And she's just really trying to promote her book and go about her fucking business and probably go on tour or something and ignore this shit. So that's what I think, when I think about Amy Schumer and why she would lie or whatever, or, you know, downplay it. So I don't know what to tell y'all, man. I guess the right answer, she could just come out and be like, I'm firing him. But then people are gonna be like, well, you fired him from what? Y'all don't have a show.
Right.
You're not currently, it's on hiatus. I could easily just see that shit, you know? So, I don't know. And I mean, there was somebody that wrote an article about his girlfriend.
What?
Like, yeah, like Kurt Metzger's girlfriend. Oh, yeah,
I remember you telling me that. Right.
Took it down, but you can't say that your goal is to defend and protect and empower women and then go, hey, here's the person this guy's fucking and five things you should know about her. Isn't this funny? Mm-hmm. Like, now you're like, you can't be Batman and breaking the rules. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so, and it just proves people right about some of the people that mm-hmm. are in these, that are on the in these quote unquote mobs, as they call them, the internet mobs. I don't really believe in that, but let's just go with that.
Right.
It proves them right about some people in it, that they're just in it for to be right and to be mean on their side, but it's not really actual, you know. It's like how people will, well, we doxed this dude and we don't like him. It's like, okay, cool, but then when someone does it to you, you can't cry foul. Like, I can't believe they would do that. Like, you participated in doing that shit to other people. Mm-hmm. So anyway, man, I don't envy Amy Schumer, and I don't know. I don't know that anything's gonna happen to her. She'll be fine. Like, she's Amy Schumer. She'll just let this blow over, continue to do movies and tour and comedy, and just don't say shit about it. And she'll be fine. And it's not like writers on the show come up during the show. Like, it's not like we all go, oh my god, he's still writing for the show. Like, it won't be a problem until some new shit pops off and he's getting attention again. It was the same thing with that Ellen picture with Usain Bolt. I saw it once for about 2 seconds, understood it, standing the context, but also the joke she was trying to make, and moved on. Then I see Leslie Mack make almost word for word the point that Karen made and get harassed all day on Twitter. It was really disheartening to see so many black people going in. You don't have to be mad about it to see the history of racism with the imagery and pointed out, but so much of social media is thinking anyone who notices racism is angry, and the rush for people to prove that they're not that type of black who'll be offended to attack other black people was sad. But great week of shows. Karen's freestyle songs are everything.
Thank you.
I literally missed I think I was at the movies when all that shit popped off. But I, you know, it's Twitter. Twitter is very small, even while being big. So true. I saw that there were people that were very upset about the Ellen shit. I ain't gonna lie, I saw it and went, she gonna get in trouble for that, and then just moved the fuck on with my day. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think Ellen is racist in the way that we think of race, like racism and mm-hmm. racist people. I don't think she is that way, but can she make jokes that, you know, offend some people, especially some black people? Yeah. And is there a history of hopping on a nigga's back like property? Yeah, absolutely. You know, so she, like, to her, the history of that is piggyback rides. She don't know or care about that shit, you know. And to be honest, I don't think of that shit. To be like, if I'm at the gym and we win a game and a white dude hops on my back and we celebrate, I don't ever think of the imagery of like, this motherfucker think I'm a slave. Like,
right.
I don't have that. But all black people ain't the same. Some black people, that might be the first fucking place they go and turn around, punch you in your motherfucking face.
Come on.
For hopping on the back. That's the risk you take with your white enthusiasm. Like, you don't know what that is for people. But I also, and this is something that I don't know if people know they can do, I also saw people talking about it on Twitter, and I just didn't say shit because I didn't have anything to add.
Right.
Like, I didn't feel like, well, let me go discredit this opinion or let me go co-sign it. I was just like, yeah, I can see how people might think that's racist. Mm-hmm. And I can also see how Ellen would not think it's racist. And I'm leaving it at that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know motherfuckers were gonna be in Leslie's mentions all day like that. That's crazy
come
to
on,
me.
Dog.
And disagreeing with a black person on race don't mean you gotta like let them know about that. Mm-hmm. About that shit. I ignore a lot of shit.
A lot of
that,
shit.
That black people say about race. The people in general, but I mostly only care about black people's opinion on certain shit. But there's a lot of times when like someone puts out an article or something and I'm like, I don't agree with that at all, but that's their experience and they are speaking for people like them. Hey, good luck to them. I'm not gonna invalidate it. I didn't live that, so
right.
You know, good luck with that, you know. Evie says, I got my life here in Karen's Pay Your Tax freestyle. If you guys put together mixtape freestyles, I totally buy it. Oh god, I just realized the Bevel Rap is gone.
Oh, we lost that in Game of Thrones and Sansa, all that shit gone.
No, I got Game of Thrones and Sansa and shit. All okay. The videos I saved.
Okay.
But just the audios. I can always go get it from an episode and it's not be the same. Micah says, let's just hope they recover this shit. Yeah. Micah says, great episode. One of the things that bothers me the most about this modern age of offensive comic, aside from the fact that, like y'all said, most simply aren't funny, is that while they deliver content they know to be offensive and are delivering it for that very reason, they consider it wrongdoing and even a violation of their Second Amendment rights if you get offended. How can you make offensive the crux of your act and then be mad it has its intended effect? I don't get it.
Me either, dog. Me either.
I don't either, man. Like, that was always funny to me. It was like when a comedian will walk, for those who don't, aren't that much into stand-up, walking people is like, you say something and then two people just, like, people just get up and walk out the room because it's so offensive or they don't like it or whatever. Mm. I used to love when comedians would leave walking somebody on their album. Like Paul Mooney did it.
Oh, cause he gave zero fucks.
I know Patrice O'Neill did it. Andrew Dice Clay's done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, I think what people need to, what really happened was that now people have a platform when they don't like you, and comedians are some of the most self-absorbed, sensitive motherfuckers on the planet. So all their hiding behind offensiveness and shit is really just like navel gazing, because ultimately it's the fact that they got critique that they can't handle, even though their job is to critique society in their opinion, and they love talking shit about everybody else, but you can't say shit back to them. So it's just kind of funny to me to see people be like, I'm an offensive edgy comic, and then when people go, yeah, well, I don't think you're funny, and it's like, well, fuck you, bitch, you don't know funny. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what about my amendment rights to say whatever the fuck I want or you say and shit like that? You just like, by the way, I think it's First Amendment rights. I think you said Second Amendment rights.
Wow, that's guns.
Right. They're gonna take away our guns and our jukes.
That's the way they sound.
But anyway. And to the Nate Gate, man, I don't think I've ever been more excited for a movie release before this. I saw some guy say something like, well, what was he supposed to say, given past his callous, unapologetic dismissal of the allegations resurfacing? The thing is, Nate had already been tried and exonerated on some bullshit. He can't be tried again for the same crime. That would be double jeopardy. It would have cost him nothing to express genuine contrition. It's so disheartening how far people go to back a predator. Yeah, man, those transcripts look damning, but you know what, dog? So many people got his back on this one, where people are like, it's just a white woman trying to bring a black man down, and historically white women have always made these claims falsely. They burned down a whole town. Look at Emmett Till is dead. And it's like, once people run to that, they ain't even worth discussing, dog. Like, mm-mm. It's like, well, there's a transcript where he said what he did. No, it's false, it's all fake, y'all. You know, unless y'all sat through the whole trial. Well, I didn't sit through Zimmerman's trial. I think he did it. I didn't sit through OJ's trial. I think he did it. Come like on. This is just my fucking opinion. Like, it's the defenders, honestly, that are making it worse. They really should just shut the fuck up, because here's the secret: nothing's going to happen to him
at all.
And if just win with grace, that's all. Win with grace, dog. Just shut the fuck up and ride it out, because you're going to win the same way I feel about people that defend Bill Cosby. Don't say shit. You, if you seriously in your heart of hearts feel like I want this dude to not see any punishment for anything he's done, he won't be. He won't go to jail. He won't see a day in jail. So y'all are going to win. Our society is rigged for the rich men to win if they do some shit like this. And they'll win. He's going to win. You know, it'll be fine if you're really on team, I don't give a fuck what this woman's saying.
Right.
Which is the white man's biggest problem? The PC mafia, cucks, or SJWs? 23% of you guys said the PC mafia. I mean, no, said SJWs are the white man's biggest problem.
Okay.
36% of y'all think cucks are the white man's biggest problem. And that means 41% of you guys think the PC mafia is the white man's biggest problem when it comes to dealing with this stuff. So there you guys go. All right, let's get to email so we can get out of here. No voicemails this week. Make sure this is right. All right, so LZ and PA says, intersectional as fuck. I can't express how grateful I am for your pod. Since the primaries, people have been showing themselves. The far right, far left axis of bullshit has been dispiriting as fuck. Seeing the complete lack of fuck certain Caucasians, pro progressives, hold towards causes greater than their own has truly made me feel sick. VRA, killing of innocence, laws to deliberately disenfranchise hurt our country as a whole, and purity politics escalates the problems. Rod and Karen, give me the life, give me life. And since all the lefty podcasts I no longer listen to made me want to gargle with bleach, this white lady thanks you for your intersectionality and empathy. Just wish you guys were contagious, like a black guy who tips Zika. That's a positive infectious empathy, if you will. Anyhow, just thanks. I currently am unable to contribute monetarily, so I'll sign off as Jew Girl who can't tip, but will go premium ASAP. Aw.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's weird to think of us as a replacing political podcast for people. But
right, because I that's not fun for me. I think of Elon and them, like I immediately go to them and I'm like, they talk about some topics that we won't even bring up, like we could be aware of them, but we like, nah, it ain't that important.
I don't even know last time I talked about Donald Trump in any level of import. I don't give a fuck about that dude. You know what I mean? Like everything he does is terrible.
Right,
so I don't
unless something happened where you have to
mm-mm. Yeah, I'm not giddy about talking about that. Mm-mm. Or playing the clips of his surrogates on TV and shit. I just don't care. Mm-mm. Fender writes in to my cousin Karen and Rod. Hey Rod and Karen, here in Canada we have also had a tortured history of left-hand oppression. We had a Truth and Reconciliation Council in the 90s and we have begun to heal as a nation. Now, left-handed people have their own hockey sticks, basketballs, and baseball bats now, not to mention the left-handed pianos, paintbrushes, and even left-handed mirrors for dance schools. A friend of mine, Ian Kiketetku, okay, is a world-renowned poet. He came out as left-handed a few years ago and he penned this anthem for lefties. Left hand. All right. Let's see how I play this.
Because she was left-handed, she was left-handed. A wooden stake up her spine in a cloak of sulfuric colored flames as they claimed she was a sorcerer. Left right over an oval aura of odor, this sickening stench of sizzling skin, it's disgusting. The order to have her life left right over, cause she chose left over right now, her spirit's right over what's left over of her charred corpse looking like some meatloaf leftovers. It's disgusting. It wasn't that long ago when young children were killed for using this hand. Beaten into orthodoxy or tied left behind back or left behind back of the class because they were different. But this systemic, systematic subjugation of those with a non-sequential processing style is deep-seated in our semantics such as in Latin, where the word for left is sinister, or in Greek scales, meaning awkward, in French, ghost translating to clumsy, in Hindi, ultra hanet meaning wrong hand, in German, leaks, meaning weak, in Portuguese, canhoto, a word once used to identify the devil. In West Africa, they will not eat with you if you use your left. I've been slapped around more times than I can count for using this hand. They claim you should only clean and wipe your ass with the left, right, and eat with your right. But I got it all mixed up, so no wonder why I talk so much shit. 10% of the average population, but die on average 10 years earlier than a right-handed counterpart from accidents like scissors, fridges, cars, bridges, roads, knives, saws, ridges. And in a world of right angles, we have trained our minds to think outside of the box. We are the architects, mathematicians, musicians, Mensa members, and cricket players. Profiles of prisoners, predators, pedophiles, and political pundits. 5 out of the last 7 American presidents. 4 out of the 5 makers of the Macintosh computer. 1 in 4 Apollo astronauts. You might think it's crazy. It is. We have a disproportionate disposition to mental illness like stuttering and schizophrenia. Stuttering. Hey, who the hell's over there in that vocal booth? Prone to dyslexia. So I found myself writing sentences that make the same sense forward as they do backwards, like, live not on evil. They say that you should know your rights, but I know my lefts like Einstein, Newton, Beethoven, Gandhi, Napoleon, Caesar, Aristotle, Joan of Arc, Hendrix, Mark Twain, Lewis Carroll, Nietzsche, Helen Keller, Olsen twins, and the list goes on. Do you know what it feels like to have every love poem you've ever written erased the moment you wrote it because it's smudged? Because we are left to right, not right to left, except in Iran, a country left of our political right, where they write right to left, not left to right. But here, to write right to left is wrong. To write left to right is right. So I left to write wrongs. 2 lefts make a right, 2 rights make a left, 2 wrongs don't make a right, and being left doesn't make you wrong, just cause it doesn't make you right, I swear. This is for the charismatic, iconoclastic cats who can't catch a clear-cut case of non-cold conversation because they claim we were classless, like school on Sunday. But someday, those individuals will realize that only left-handed people are in their right mind. Someone better tell these jokers that life is not like a game of cards. There is no such thing as a wrong hand. And if being left is wrong, I don't want to be right. I'll be glad to be the only one left.
That was beautiful. Brutiful, as Scrappy would say.
You approve?
Hell yeah, man. I mean, we need more left hand advocates. People speak for left. I'm glad he came out as left. You know, as Southpaws need all the support we can get. Only we can say that. I appreciate your occasional response to my tweet. I feel and vibe with the show, and I always want to show love for Rod and Karen, especially my country cousin Karen. Your laughter for real lifts spirits. It has been just over a year that I've been listening. I went premium just before I went through 2 bullshit layoffs in a row. The archives, which I have gone through from episode 1 through 470 so far, as well as being current, have given me so much life. I have been cackling up endlessly while keeping busy renovating my house. Listening to the evolution of the show is so good. I'm back to work now and I'm still steady listening. Won't stop, can't stop. You got me into them thrones. Your reviews of all the shows make all the shows so much better. I'm more excited to return for the return of Wednesday Day Walking than I am for the return to the show. The Blackout Tips Nation, go premium. One love, Fender Case. P.S. Nation, check my music out, FenderCase.com. Hit me up on Twitter and let me know what you think. There you go. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Xenophobia, y'all. Nicole writes in, so many issues in this one dealing with xenophobia, dumbass judges, the problem with our justice system, and how dangerous anti-immigration rhetoric can be. This man ran someone over a woman and got off. How is Bobby still in jail? What the fuck? And it's right. A link to the article. It says Ford son killed by neighbor who called him a dirty Arab. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I already got this saved for us to cover during the week.
Okay,
so that'll be coming back up. Appreciate you sending it in though, but yeah, we got you, don't worry about that. I seen that shit, I was like, nigga, what? Mm-mm-mm. He would not be safe on these streets, dog. I'm premium, y'all. Cassie writes in, It's official, y'all. I'm a premium member. After months of trying to get it together financially, I'm finally in a position to support y'all and have access to all the other great spinoff podcasts you have. Words cannot describe how excited I am. As much as I love music, I enjoy listening to you guys more. Man, let me tell you something.
Thank you.
Whenever you guys say, like, I'm gonna go premium at some point when I get my money right, I always assume y'all lying. And it's not...
Right, because I know your intentions be good, but sometimes that you might not make it.
I just think it's some nice shit that people say. Like, hey, man, I would almost give you some money kind of if I was thinking about it. But, yeah, I appreciate when people actually come through on that.
Thank you.
A lot of people actually do come through on that. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, you did say that a few months ago.
Right. And didn't we just cross how many premium episodes? 500?
Over 500, yeah.
Right.
The topics on this week's episodes had me feeling fucked up, though. I was like Karen giving out 100s for fucking with black people before even needing to hear what the whole story. Karen really put it into perspective when she talked about how black people can't avoid white people, but white people could go an entire day without seeing someone brown. I'm surrounded by white people at work when I go to the store, shopping. There are days where I just think, am I the only black person in here?
Right.
That's much of how preschool to high school was for me, and that changed drastically when I went to college. Anyway, I'm glad to finally be premium. Rod, if you do an Outkast off-season podcast, I'll definitely be listening in. All right, yeah, a couple people said that. Say no more. I'm gonna do it.
You don't get up with somebody.
I'm gonna find. I think Dexter watches the show. I'm gonna see if I can get Dexter to do it.
Mm-hmm. He'd be a good one.
By the way, y'all put me on to Fan Bros, and I can't get enough. For all nerds, Fan Bros.
I love that show.
Thanks, love, Cassie, aka Cassie67 Impala on Twitter. Thank you. Mm-hmm. For sure. And lastly, Brandon writes in, pay your taxes. Long time listener, first time writer. I love you guys and the inclusiveness of your show. I'm reaching out because of what you spoke about in episode DJ Who Kid Is This. I feel the same way about the nightly show, and I'm deeply saddened by the narrowing of black representation in media as the White House faces the unblackening. Mm-hmm. Anyways, keep up the good work. Hey man, I'll say this, their last episode just aired, and in the irony of all ironies, you can't even make this shit up. The media covered it because Jon Stewart was on him. Like, it's like a tragic comedy in all of this.
Only reason why they covered it.
It's like, what's funny is throughout the week, they got more coverage this week than they ever did before, and they deserved it. They deserved it for the work they did, for the conversations they started, for the fact that that shit will not take place on any other late night talk show and there's like fucking 20 late night talk shows now, and they're competing with all these shows, and they're talking about this black shit, and none of these other shows will even broach these topics. So it's just sad to see it go, but you know, they had a great run, and I'll miss them on my DVR, man. All right, guys, we'll be back. We gotta go pick up my niece. Mm-hmm. And go see this Kubo movie or whatever it's called.
Yay!
And with them strings.
Yeah, so for those of you premium, look forward to the kids review.
Yep, so we'll talk to y'all later. Until then, see you in Miami, guys. All right, till then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.